The message is over the edge. And it's about being here, but not really here. Eutychus. Eutychus was in church. But he wasn't in the middle of church. He's on the edge of church. So, I got it on. There we go. So as he read Acts 28 through 9, he talked about there being many lamps there. They had been there for a long, long time. What it was is Paul was leaving town, and they knew Paul wasn't coming back. Paul knew he wasn't coming back. So he was trying to give them as much time as he had, and that's why it went into the wee hours of the morning. A lot of people in that room. Lamps. They didn't have our nice little lights. They had coal lamps, oil lamps, soot. All it was a little stuffy in there, probably. Yeah. This young man Eutychus, along with many others, had gathered to listen to Paul speak. Eutychus, who was in this window sill, had probably tried to move away from that oil smell. And the mustiness. And there was so many people in the room. So he's trying to find a place that's more comfortable. Our seats are comfortable, right? He may have wished position himself where maybe the cool night breeze would comfort him as the night grew long. Everyone had gathered to listen to Paul speak as he was leaving the area, as I said. The young man just wanted to put himself in maybe a comfortable position, and at the same time be able to still hear the message that Paul was bringing, because Paul was speaking about Jesus and the gospel, and that was exciting to Eutychus. He wanted to hear this message, but he still wanted to be comfortable. Maybe it was hot in that room, but sitting in that windowsill, maybe a little breeze coming by, right? Eutychus had separated himself from the crowd and allowed himself to get on the edge of the group, no longer protected by the group. He sits on the edge, still listening, but also allows himself to succumb to sleep. He has chosen what seems to be more comfortable and easier than being in the middle of the crowd. This young man, in every sense of the word, was in church. And yet he was still in danger of falling, in danger of dying. Eutychus, he didn't anticipate this danger. Or if he's so, I'm sure when he sat on the windowsill, he's three stories up, as the scriptures tell us. I'm sure he looked down, you know what? I wouldn't want to fall down from here. That had to hurt. It's got to hurt or worse. But you know what? It's all hot in here. Stuffy in here. The oil lamps. All that stuff. I'll take a chance. Eutychus chose to take a chance because it was worth it to him rather than being safe in the middle of the group. The dangers of not being fully committed and invested in itself is a danger. If we fail to commit just to dabble in our faith. What it was is, the message is about Eutychus was there, but he wasn't committed. If he was committed, he couldn't have fallen out of the window because he wouldn't have been in the window to start with. He had been closer to Paul. If he wanted to hear Paul's message, he should have been closer to Paul, not as far away as you could possibly be and still hear his message. You know, many of us have driven by, there's farmland, we've got it out here. You drive by a farmland and you see that on the edges of whatever, wheat, grain, rice, corn, whatever you're raising, if you notice around the edges of this growing area, it's not as green as it is in the middle. There's spaces, there's sparseness, there's damage to the plants. They're not as green. In fact, that's where you find the browning around the edges of all these large farms that you drive around around the edges. On the edge of the field, it's the weather, it's the wind. There's no water. The traffic of the farm equipment around that area is damaging those plants. Those plants have a much harder time to thrive because they're not safe in the middle of that growing area. They're on the edges where all the traffic is going around. The wind hits them first. The sun hits them first. In nature, we see the importance of being inside the pack, being inside the protection of the group. The predators that look to kill, they circle the outside of the pack, looking for the weak ones, looking for the ones that have kind of been pushed out by the pack, or those that have just kind of meandered and not paid attention where they are, and they're out there without being protected. That's where the predators are looking to devour those on the edges. Like the predators, Satan is the very same thing. Satan is looking for us, those of us that are choosing to be on the outside edge. We may still be in church, but maybe we're in the foyer when speaking's going on. We may be maybe out in the parking lot doing whatever we're doing while Sabbath school's going on. It happens. It happens in every church. And Satan is out there just patrolling, trying to find those that think that they're safe and are not. If you find that you're often thinking of what's going on outside while you're inside, you may have yourself in a bad situation. Can we not get sleepy in our faith, feeling comfortable about it? How can we know we're on the edge? How can we know that we may be in danger of a terrible fall? Do we invest ourselves in the minimum of our fellowship? Do we engage seldom, other than maybe Sabbath worship? Is our life centered around God? Or are we making time for Him when we can, when it's convenient? When you wake up in the morning, what's the most important thing in your life that day? Is it your job or your relationship with your God? Is it your job or your relationship with your God? Is it comfort or your relationship with God? Is it looking for a cool breeze or hearing the word? You got to choose it daily. You can't make this call and it counts for a whole week. You wake up in the morning, you have to choose. Am I going to be on the edge of it, or am I going to be in the middle of it? Every day. Do we rush out of service in a rush to get home to what? Do we not stay? And I have a tendency to do that myself. You know what? Once church is done, shame on me, but I've already been here a couple of 2 or 3 hours. But I shouldn't be that way. I should sit and visit. I'm not a small talk person. I need to be a small talk person because there is where I establish the relationships. Now, if you need me to help you move into your house, I'll be the first one there, and I'll bring some tools. You need me to do some hoeing in your yard? I'll bring 2 hoes. I'll bring somebody to work the other hoe. But I have a bad habit of when the church is over with, I'm out of here. I'm thinking, I got to get on home. I'm tired. And I miss out. I miss out on establishing and building and growing stronger relationships. I'm a bad man. I know better too. When we doubt. Yeah. No, you know what? That's on the wrong one. So I apologize. I must have sent the wrong one. No problem. I'm going to be reading some scripture. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 13, 5 and 6 this. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. test yourself. Paul is saying, test yourself. Test yourself. You need to be taking your temperature regularly. You may have a virus and not know it. Do you know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you're disqualified, but I trust that you will know that you're not disqualified. So if Paul is telling us that we need to test ourselves, I promise you, you need to heed that warning. Because Paul's got some pretty good advice written in this book. There must be a reason why he's saying that we need to test ourselves. Maybe we've moved away from center and we're on the edge and we don't even know it. I ask this question of us all. Blank this out. Are we living our life to do the minimum to enter heaven, or are we living our life to go as far as possible as we enter heaven? Are you going to enter heaven at the very end where you got nothing left and you think, I've got just enough energy, I'll make one more step and I'm going to make it in? Or are you going to hit heaven with a wide open running pace? Are you going to hit those gates moving? Or are you just going to barely make it and fall down? As Jesus is coming, you say, and you fall down. Thank you, it's over with. Or are you going to make it that I am ready? I'm awake, I'm alive, I'm in the middle of this. We read in Luke chapter 6, 48. He's like a man building a house who dug a deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on rock. Verse 49. But he who heard and did nothing is like the man who built a house on the earth without foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently and immediately fell. And the ruin of that house was great. If we're only willing to commit the minimum, can we be building our faith on ground that is not strong enough to weather a storm? And I promise you, a storm is coming. It's on its way. You may not be able to see the clouds today. You may not hear the thunder, but it's coming. And if you're seasoned in this world, you'd had an opportunity. I'm very, very fortunate. I have seen a world where what you thought shenanigans was, we would call playful fun today. The world is not what it was when I was born. I have seen so much going on just in the past 15 years, in the past 5 years, in the past 2 years. As a good old farmer sitting out there in his farm wondering when it's time to plant wheat, I'm telling you, it's time to plant your feet, because the weather is coming and you need to be prepared. The Ten Commandments were not written on the skin of an animal. You ever thought about that? It'd been a whole lot easier to carry around, to store, and to open it up and all that had it been on skin of an animal, something that would have rotted and passed away. The Ten Commandments were put on stone, heavy stone, permanence, forever, that would stand the test of time. All these things that we need to put to build our house upon, build our faith upon, those things have to be something that are grounded. The storm is coming. Don't be on the edge. If a hurricane's come, you don't run to the porch. You run to the inside closet or in the inside bathroom, right? You put yourself in the middle of the structure. You don't sit out on the porch and go, well, I can't wait to see this happen. You may not be able to tell us what you saw later on. Hebrews 5, 13, 14. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The solid food that the scriptures are talking about is the advanced knowledge of this book. If you're not using we've had a couple that are offering their home to us that we can go in there and study a little bit more about prayer and have an idea of how we can weather the storm. If this book is just something that we grab once in a while because we're going to church and you need to have a Bible when you walk into church, right? That's not serving the purpose. This is milk. If it's that way, you open it up. Oh, that's some meat there. That's sustenance. A grown woman can live on that. But you got to open it up. You can starve to death. You could starve to death spiritually carrying this thing around with you. Absolutely. You know. I think the situation is that you can starve to death eating at McDonald's. I think that was a scientific fact. I think they came out with about 5 or 6 years ago that you could eat every meal every day from McDonald's and you eventually starve to death. You can carry this around and spiritually starve to death unless you open it up and study it. The storm's coming. Hey, how about this? Can you be too busy with the work of the church and not take time to invest in the worship of the church? In this church here, I think I have an idea of what all of some of the things that each one of you participate in. And I know that at times you can go home exhausted doing the work of the Lord. It's a labor of love, but it's a labor. You can prepare a Sabbath school class and spend, 8-9 hours when it's all said and done in a whole week's time preparing for that lesson. You can be going to the store getting all your arts and crafts supplies. You can have organized where you've got your, we had the youth up here 2 weeks ago, and they practiced many, many times. They had to be tired when they get home. They had to get home at 10, 11 o'clock at night after they worked a full 8-9 hour day. You can get exhausted doing God's work. You can be. You can be, if you're not careful, you can be too busy in church to appreciate the fellowship of church. There was a big supper taking place at Martha's house. Martha and Lazarus, they had a little festivity going on. Jesus was there speaking to the people. And Martha is running around being busy at church, wasn't she? She was accommodating. Listen, you need to feed Jesus. Jesus comes to my house, we feeding him. I'm not sitting down till I know he's good. I promise you that. But Martha was working so hard, taking care of everything, and she's getting frustrated at Mary, because Mary is where? At the feet of Jesus. At the feet of Jesus. There's nothing wrong with what Martha was doing, but there's something better with what Mary was doing. A lot better with what Mary's doing. I'm confident that Jesus wouldn't have held it against Martha if he'd been a little bit hungry, if Martha had been at his feet listening to him speak. Because that's really what he wanted Martha to get. He wanted her to get this. That's what he wanted. While Martha's working so very hard to accommodate and care for her guests, her sister Mary sits at the feet listening to him speak. Martha's distracted. Martha expecting her sister to get up. Martha doesn't know that her sister was at church and wasn't in the windowsill. She was right at the master's feet. You couldn't pull her out that window. No. In verse 41, 42, we find that Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are so worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her." With this said, and I'm going to tell you, and y'all got to hear me, we all need some Marthas. All of us need to be Martha. Because if we find ourselves always being served and not serving, that's not pleasing God, because that's not what that's not the direction and the example that Jesus gave us. In our Sabbath school class, we talked about that today, that you can sit there and preach at somebody while it's raining and you're holding an umbrella and somebody is sitting there with no shoes, rain on them, and they're starving to death, and you can preach the word to them, they're not hearing anything. You better share that umbrella. You need to, if you don't feed them, they're not going to be able to hear you. If you're not dry and you're dry, they're not listening. Excuse me. We need to have Mary's and Martha's. This event that we're going to have after church, a bunch of Marthas got together, male and female. There's a Martha's that got together and made that happen in there. Some of us are going to walk in there and the tables are going to be all set up and pretty. The food is all prepared. There's a bunch of Marthas that did that. We need Marthas. We can go to church and learn about Jesus. The sermons can tell us stories from times past. The pastor can tell us stories from others that living before us and the decisions they made and the consequences of those decisions. But sitting in church for 1 hour or hour and a half each week does not prepare us. Not for setting us up for success in our relationship with Jesus, or not preparing to weather a storm that's going to come. Let me get to a story. I've got a great story here that I think I'm going to tell you. You know, Eutychus, he did fall out of that window. Paul ran down there and threw himself on top of Eutychus and revived him, right? Paul gave Eutychus another chance to make another choice. All of us, God has always given us opportunities. But how many times do we expect Paul to fall on us and bring us back so we have another choice to make it correctly? We have to be very, very careful that we're not putting ourselves in that window sill. It's not as bad as you think, being in a room that's sooty and hot and stale air while you're listening to Jesus or Paul or your pastor speak. It's not that bad. It's okay to be a little uncomfortable, because the other side of it is, if you put yourself in a comfortable position, you may fall asleep. You may miss out on something. Let me tell you a story about a young lady. In the Black Forest, I've told this story before many years ago here. And the Black Forest of, I think it was West Germany, near France. The Black Forest is known for its dense foliage and thick trees and darkness. Even in noon, it's dark inside this place because of the thickness of the trees. Well, there's this young girl that lived with her parents in a village just outside the forest. And she grew up in the forest edge, and she was quite comfortable moving in and outside the forest. She could move in that forest. She lived there. And what she did was, this young lady sold flowers in the village. The flowers were only found inside this forest. The parents of the young girl continually reminded her that the forest was dangerous and to always respect the dangers. There were bears in the woods. Now, there hadn't been too many instances of bears attacking, but there had been some. Why take a chance? Be careful. Don't go in too deep in the forest, because the bears don't like the edge of the forest. Bears like the inside of the forest where it's dark. Then the young lady enjoyed picking flowers, and she found the deeper that she went in the woods, the more flowers she could find. She would travel further and further inside the forest looking for more and more beautiful flowers. The more she sold, the more flowers she needed. Does that not happen to us sometimes? The more successful we become in our business, the more time that business, we pray, God, help me in my business. Make me a good steward of the business that you have given me. Please bless me financially and give me wisdom that I will use those finances as I should. and Jesus does. And you make a whole lot more money. And when what do? You spend a whole lot more time trying to make more money. Now you used to have four employees and you had no problems making it to church. You had no problem making it to Wednesday night Bible study. You had no problems going and visiting people and fellowshipping with people. But now you got 10 employees. You ain't got time for all that. You're out there on the edge. You're out there on the edge and you're in danger of falling asleep spiritually. So her parents continually told her to be careful as the dangers of the forest were real. But the young girl paid, of course, little attention. She knew the forest as well as anyone. She trusted in her familiarity and knowledge of the area. One beautiful day, she sets off. She's going to go get some flowers. Her search took her deeper, though. So as she collected these flowers each time, she'd have to go deeper inside this forest to find new flowers. This day, it took her well inside the darkness of the forest. And she's picking flowers, and she's realizing she's not being very successful. She's not getting very many flowers. And so she works further and further into the forest. Oh, that poor darling doesn't like my message. It's not about you, son. You're too young to get in trouble right now. She was confident in her abilities, and she knew the woods. So anyway, as she's preparing to leave, to head back home, something happens. She hears a noise that she has not heard, but she knows what the noise is. She knows it's a bear. A bear has now entered into the same area that she's in. Out of fear, she climbs a tree. Quietly. She didn't expect this bear. She knew the woods. She was comfortable with the woods. But all of a sudden, now there's a new variable. She climbs the tree, and she's up there. She can't see where the bear is, but she can hear it rustling, and she stays as quietly as she possibly can because she knows if that bear hears her or smells her, it could climb that tree and hurt her or kill her. She's concerned. Our plans seldom work out as we wish they would. We learn that we can depend upon the grace of God to help us through life's journeys. The world that we live in has dangers everywhere, and we cannot be prepared for them all. I'm telling you, a storm is coming. Now, you can get you a bag, a suitcase, something, whatever, and you can fill it with flint, and you can fill it with magazines of how to survive out in the woods, and you can put a knife and a compass in it, and all that's good. All that's good. That's important stuff. But if you think that you're going to have everything that you need in that bag, you're sadly mistaken. It's better to pull that compass out, throw the flint away, throw the knife away, and put this in that bag. Now you're prepared. There's nothing that the world can throw at you. There's nothing Satan can tempt you with that this can't help you through it with your relationship as long as you are in the middle of the group. Yes? What does the Bible stand for? Very good, son. Very good. I'm proud of you. She's ever so quiet, I told you. She's up in that tree. It's now been quite a few hours. She no longer hears the rustling and the grunting of the bear. But now, as she climbs down the tree, it's so dark, she has no idea where she is. She thought she knew the forest. She thought she knew where she was. She had gotten herself so far out away from her home that now that the sun has gone down, she doesn't know where she is. She doesn't know what's going to happen to her next. She wished that she had listened and more importantly, obeyed the advice of her warning parents. Many hours have passed. She hollers out one time, help me, I'm lost. And in the faint, faint background, she hears her father's voice call out. Oh, now you know she's happy about all this now. She doesn't know where it came from because it was so far away. But she hears her father's voice because it's so quiet where she's at. She hollers out, Father, Father, I'm here. She hears the father's voice a little bit closer. And as it gets a little bit closer, they're hollering for one another. And eventually, the father finds his little girl. He's got a lantern. And he hands the lantern to the little girl. And I mean, she grabs this lantern and she holds it close to her chest. And that lantern shines enough light that she can see the path, the way to get home. And her father starts her back home. They're discussing the events of the day on their way home. And the father asks her, what do you think about moving, you know, being so far away from home and so far deep in the forest? And the young lady said, I had no idea. I wasn't prepared. But when I heard your voice and I saw the light that you were bringing me, I knew everything was going to be okay. At least she hadn't gone so far that her father couldn't find her. Because if you know about the Black Forest in this area, there's a point where there's no return. No one can find you. It's just nothing but wilderness. So, this time the young lady is safe. Good story. Y'all knew I was going to give you a good story. It's going to have a good ending. Wouldn't have been any good if the bear ate her. The young lady is safe, but what about the next time? Will she be willing to travel deeper and deeper into the woods after those flowers that she wished to sell in the village? Or will she make a bond between herself and her parents stronger as she has first-hand experience of the dangers of this world? I say get involved with your church members. Commit daily to continuing your relationship with our Lord. Study the Bible. Don't just carry it around. Open this thing up. Invite people into your home. Go show up at other people's homes. Establish a strong relationship. Get in the middle of the crowd, not the edge. You know, we find in Hebrews 6:4-6, for it is impossible for those who once enlightened and tasted the heavenly gift, have been partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God, and have powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. If the young lady went out to those woods again and got herself lost again, that's on her. God had already got her back home. He had given her the grace that she needed. And if she squanders that grace and goes out again out in those woods and her father can't find her, that was on her. She was given grace. One more person on the edge. Peter. Apostle Peter. We'll close with this little story. There's a time where Jesus is saying that the disciples are going to let him down. Peter specifically was going to deny Christ. If we study the Bible, Peter was not the kind of person to stand back and let that be said. Not me, Father. Not me, Jesus. No. No. Maybe these others, but not me. I'm strong enough. That would never happen. I would never deny you. Well, we know the story. We know the story. And where was Peter when he denied Christ? He was out on the edge. Instead of following Jesus into the synagogue where he was being condemned, he stayed outside. It's not until we place ourselves outside the parameters of where Jesus is working do we put ourselves in a position where we can fall from our own windowsill. And every one of us has a windowsill. I live in a house with a lot of windowsills. Got to be careful about where I put my priorities. Am I being too busy at church to enjoy church? Am I not engaging myself? Am I not committing myself? If I'm in a hurry to hurry up and hand out these supplies to the homeless, if I'm in a hurry to do that, I might as well just not go. I might as well just hand it to, I can just put them in a tote and just set them on the corner of the street and let people pick from, if that's what it is. It's the engagement of hopefully I can have with the 101 person as I hand them this and tell them there's some literature in this. Tell them that Jesus loves them. Jesus sent me to give you something today. You can hand somebody something and they eat the sandwich and it's gone. But if they eat the sandwich knowing it came from Jesus, oh, come on. Come on. That's real food right there. We got to get involved with stuff like that, all right? Let me close with this and then we'll get our chorister back up here. Let the Holy Spirit invite you to move out of that windowsill and join God's sons and daughters here in the middle of the action. There's a lot going on in this church. I think there's 68 people here today. There's a lot going on in this church. If you're not engaged or involved with an activity, I'm telling you, for our sake and yours, get in the middle of the action. It's important to be invested, to be committed, to be engaged. Let the Holy Spirit invite you to be engaged in the service of the Lord. Here in the middle of the action, it may be a little bit uncomfortable, a bit smoky at times, with all the lanterns and noises. But here is where the saints abide in Christ, right here, right now. Let's be committed. Let's be committed to being committed. And let's take religion. I don't care about religion. Let's take our faith seriously. There's a lot of religions. Let's take our faith seriously. Amen.